All right, leaders, today we're being joined with the one and only Brianna Sheldon.
Hello.
From the Connection team. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Thanks for talking with us. Sarah, are we excited about what we're going to learn today
from our dear sister? So excited. One of our very own Connection team people. Woo. It's the best.
It's the best.
I had nothing to do with this.
No, you didn't. Awesome. Well, great. Well, Sarah, I'll probably let you drive a lot of this because you know Brianna better and you know how to like really pull out the diamonds that are just within this woman of God. But Brianna, why don't you just start off by telling us who you are? Give us a couple things. Like, how did you come to Aletheia? Why are you on the Connection team? That kind of stuff. Just for anybody who doesn't know you.
Sure.
Who might be listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
Break yourself down first.
Sure. I came to Aletheia, 2.5 years now?
I can't believe it's been that long.
Craziness. 2.5 years ago. And I came in, I was going to a different church, which had a much older population, which mm-hmm. was great. But I really needed people.
So they were roughly 40?
No, I'm talking like 70.
What, were there like some 28-year-olds in the crowd?
Yeah.
So that doesn't happen here. So.
Yeah, so I definitely needed people in my age bracket. So I kind of came in on the first day. I ended up talking to Sarah and I was like, hey, I need church family that's my age. And she's like, well, if you look behind you, everyone is under 40. So this is great. Yeah. So that's kind of how that started. And then Life and Doctrine was picking up a couple of weeks after that. And
yeah,
so
I think so.
Did that with Sarah and Kev. And then.
So how long ago was that? So Sarah and Kev were leading Life and Doctrine. That's been a while.
Yeah, it would have been like 2 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was this time a couple, maybe it's not 2.5 years. Yeah.
Something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. And then that kind of solidified that this is definitely where I wanted to call home. So that was a great. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And how did we nab you on the Connection team there?
So at Life and Doctrine, Sarah had at the same time a Connection team meeting, and everyone that I had been naturally meeting anyway and was becoming friends with was on the Connection team. And Sarah was like, you know, it's totally cool if you come to this. Just do your homework outside of class. So I kind of skipped Life and Doctrine that day, but went to the Connection team meeting. And that was a really great opportunity to kind of get to see, like, this is what the team is like, and this is how we operate, and this is who you'll get to be spending time with. So that definitely, like, I came out of Life and Doctrine ready to be baptized, become a member, join a team, all that good stuff.
Yeah. Awesome.
That's awesome.
Brianna just jumped right in. Yes. Our favorite kind.
She's like a dream volunteer right here. Yeah. So none of you other teams. Sarah's only paying a few $1,000 a year for Brianna, so you're gonna have to up her.
Steal Brianna. Yeah, there's a no stealing Brianna clause that went into the recording of this podcast. Okay. So okay. She's spoken for.
So, well, great. So you walked into a Connection team meeting while you're playing hooky from Life and Doctrine. And and you met some people, thought they were pretty cool, and so you stayed in there. Team leaders, those of you who are listening to this and you want to get quality people on your team, maybe you should go attend a class sometime and just pull people out of that class right into your team. would be Sarah's.
Maybe not recommended.
If you're wondering how Sarah's team got to be so awesome, it's because she gets the pick of the litter every round of classes that happens at our church. But yeah, so just want to talk about that. Obviously, the two of you, Sarah, you've been leading the Connection team for how long now?
Man, 4 or 5 years, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you get that
role? Yeah, I've been on staff for 4 years, and I think it was just before maybe a year or so before I started on staff. I got that role because we were driving down to Campus Harvest, which is now called the Every Nation Campus Conference, and I was driving a van of college students, and Pastor Donnie was sitting in the front seat and was like, how did you feel about me putting you in charge of the Connection team?
Is that how that happened?
Yeah. I think it was basically like you corralled a bunch of college students into a van, and you don't seem to hate people. Would you like to take over the Connection team?
I probably put a little bit more forethought into the quote request than that.
Yeah.
But this is a key team of our church. Yeah. I mean, you all, the team that the two of you represent, but you have a great group of leaders and even mm-hmm. volunteers on the team.
Yeah.
Who really take it upon themselves to engage the people who come to our church and to see those people not only have a good time, but it goes beyond hospitality. And for those of you on the hospitality team, this is not a knock, but it's designed to think beyond just making them feel comfortable, which is important mm-hmm. in the church, but also beyond that, engage them in such a way that we are connecting people to our discipleship processes. So, which is also why Sarah's title has changed over the years from connections director to discipleship director, because what they're connecting them to is this whole idea of discipleship, or this process of discipleship within our church. Yeah. And so, So Brianna, you were brought on. How long did you serve as just a normal volunteer? Like a week?
It was not very long.
Yeah, not very long. And then what did Sarah make you do? What started happening?
I think part of it was just kind of identifying, like, this is what you're good at and you should take the leadership test. And then she's like, yeah, all your results make sense. And we kind of went from there. I don't remember if there was anything super specific. We tend to let people shadow as well, so that was pretty great.
I think Brianna was just incredibly enthusiastic, and so it was like, awesome, we'll keep throwing things your way until you don't want anymore.
I know
it's great. I think you expressed interest in taking on more responsibility, and so we had you shadow for a little bit some of our current leaders, and then once you'd done that for a little while, you started, I think, team leading on a Sunday. But over time, I remember us identifying sort of this onboarding of new volunteers mm-hmm. being the sweet spot where you were really excited to serve, and also where we really needed. Mm-hmm. Our team grew to the point that at one point I was training every new volunteer, which was great, but I was also doing it. I was walking through the training material one-on-one with every single one of them on just whatever Sunday they happened to be ready to serve.
Yeah.
And we grew to the point that that wasn't sustainable anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so that was the point when we really made the change.
Yeah. So Brianna, tell us what you do now, like kind of explain the way in which you serve on your team, the role, the leadership role that you bring to it.
Yeah.
But also, what are some of the practical ways that you serve our church as you lead through leading this team in the ways that you do?
Sure. So, all right, that was a lot. Hold on. As far as, where should we start with this? Do you want to start?
I guess maybe start with, why was it that onboarding new volunteers was the thing you were super excited about?
Brianna took over onboarding new volunteers from Sarah.
Yes.
And so, yeah. So why are you excited about that? And what does that, maybe start with practically what that looks like. For us. So what sort of the things that you cover?
Sure.
That you lead.
Yeah.
But then break it down for us why that's important to you and why you're excited to do that.
Sure.
Afterwards.
Yeah, sounds good. Okay. So practically speaking, we tend to get new volunteers in one of two buckets. They'll either check off on their connection card that they're interested in the connection team, or they're friends with someone on the team, or they come up to Sarah and they say, you know, I'm interested. So I'll either get an email through the official like connection card communication, or from Sarah saying this person approached me and they're interested. So that, depending on how I find out they're interested, we'll either send them an official like, we heard you were interested, so great to hear that email, or I'll skip that step if it's a personal, they're ready to go on and we can start talking about like the logistics of it. So that's kind of how we get volunteers identified.
Okay.
So from there, I'll send them an email that kind of talks about the membership piece. We like to see that people are actively in a group and are members of the church. It's a lot easier for someone to explain those things to a newcomer if they're actively and participating in that rhythm.
Yeah.
So
the connection team has some extra requirements that some other teams do not have.
And right. One of those exactly.
You actually have to be a member of our church. Is that mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm.
Or pursuing membership.
Like yeah.
Taking, you know, happy to sign up for the class and pursue it.
And then also being a part of a group.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to lead what you do not live.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what one of the first emails looks like. Kind of just gauging where people are at. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people are, they've already become members, or they're about to enroll in the class, or they're interested. So we kind of go from there. And then once that is, they say, yep, I definitely want to go forward with this, we look at the schedule. Usually I'm serving within the next couple weeks, so I can say like, are you available on this day and this time?
Yeah.
And I hope that they are.
Yeah.
If not, we identify like what times fit into their schedule. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm not going to be serving on that day, I'll connect them with whoever the leader is that day, and I give them the whole list of all the things you can expect from that. So once we figure out what day and time they're serving, we have them set up in a planning center. So we have our scheduler get them an official account and get them lined up with that sort of stuff. And then we also send them some trained up videos, which Sarah and I need to re-record. Yeah. But that kind of goes over our church rhythms and what it looks like to serve on the connection team and what sort of things they can generally expect. And from there, there's a section where they can give us feedback if they've got any specific questions or anything we can talk about on the first day there. So that is the scheduling piece of it. And then the Thursday before they serve, I send them an email, and it's got a bracket of, we arrive at this time, and from from this time to this time, we're going to set up, and then we'll go to 8 at 8:30. And I give a like a bracketed list of, these are all the things you can expect to do. Mm-hmm. And then once they show up, I have them text or call me that they're here. Or if someone's manning the hallway, I'll let them know that I have a new team member coming in today, depending on how many people we have serving that day.
Yeah.
And then we go through the process of setting up, and we show them, this is the green room and the volunteer room, and this is where all our stuff is. So we kind of go through that process, and a lot of times I'll stop and say, do you have any questions, or are you confused on anything? And I like to reiterate that it's all, the muscle memory happens after you serve a couple times. Like, we have a lot of pieces that get set up that you just aren't going to memorize right away. Yeah. So that is kind of like what their first day looks like. And then during our team huddle in the morning, we talk about, why do we do what we do? And I use that as an opportunity to let someone else that is volunteering that day field that question and gives them an opportunity to kind of own that moment. And then after that, we go to 8 at 8:30 and go through the day. Once people show up for the, I usually serve in the morning. So once people show up for the 9 a.m., I kind of point out, like, that person is looking at their connection card, or that person's on their phone by themselves. So we kind of point out things that would indicate you should probably go talk to that person.
Sure.
And then I go with them and say, I'm not going to.
So for those who don't know, and like our connection team, they don't just stand around in the back of the room. Before service starts, especially before the first service, really identify someone who looks like they might be new or sitting by themselves, and they go get busy and, and by engaging them in the crowd. So you're asking them, you're teaching them even from the first day, here's what we do as a team.
And some people are extroverted. The majority of our team is actually introverted. And so I try to reflect on, like, all right, this is going to be a little bit awkward, but this is how we go do this. We go over, this is the proper way to introduce yourself so you don't make your first time guests uncomfortable or anything like that. If we have some phrases we try to avoid, so we'll go over those.
What are some of those phrases that you try to avoid? I'm just curious.
Are Mostly, you new here? Is this your first Sunday?
This your first time?
Because especially if you're new to the connection team, you're probably relatively new to Aletheia, or at least not. Just none of us, regardless, like, even if we've been here from the beginning, like, Pastor Donnie that isn't going to know if you walk up to someone if it's their first Sunday or not.
Right.
So we always try to ask, how long have you been coming to, like, we'll say, I don't think we've met before. Mm-hmm. How long have you been coming to Aletheia is our intro, because if they're a first time guest, they'll say it right away. But if they're not, if they're like, I've actually been coming on and off for 4 years, and I've been here way longer than you, then you just saved yourself from hurting someone's feelings and making yourself feel really awkward.
Oh yeah. So we walk them through the day, and then we all attend whatever service you're slated to serve during is the service you get to attend. Depending on how comfortable people are feeling, I gauge, do you want to help with the offering? Do you want to help with communion? We don't necessarily throw people in right away, but some people are really excited about it, and some people are like, I'd rather get to watch that the first round.
Yeah.
So we kind of gauge where people's comfort levels are. And then after their first Sunday, I send a follow-up email. So thank you so much for serving. We're so excited to have you. And then we kind of talk logistics of, is this something you want to continue to go with, to get scheduled for, that sort of thing.
So that first Sunday is kind of like a trial. It's not, so not committed.
We've actually changed the language in the last couple weeks. So I've worded the first email as, if you're sounding excited about this but not ready to 100% commit, come check us out. And we kind of let people test the waters with that. So that's a recent development.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I think that's all the things.
The secret is that once they do it once, they're going to do it again, most likely.
Hopefully.
We try.
Yeah.
But we try.
Brianna's such a great onboarder that they can't help it.
Oh, I usually have presents for them. I forgot about that.
Presents?
Yeah.
What kind of presents?
Oh, I need to make some new ones, actually. So I have handwritten a thank you note that they're...
You're stealing everybody from everybody else's team right now.
That's the real goal behind this podcast today.
It's usually something like, we're so glad to have you on the team, or thank you for serving, something along those lines. And it's usually with a bag of like candy or something. The last time I had a new team member, I didn't have time to make up the bag. I need to make some new ones. But I went to Dunkin' that morning and got a whole box of donuts. So even if I didn't have I do owe them a handwritten thank you card. But just bringing something extra to show that like I thought about you being here and I wanted to show you that I'm appreciative of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so just to bring again context to what we're talking about, what you're all hearing Brianna talk about is from the moment they're invited to serve on the team, mm-hmm. to explaining to what they're like the first day, they're not even talking about ongoing service and the nitty gritty of what it looks like. She's talking about how do we prepare these people and really get them exposed to serving in this specific area of our church.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of our teams, they have this, figured out and to where like a lot of some of the schedulers will do this. And other teams, they have specific people like Brianna set up for this mindset. But I think all of it, here's what we're kind of pushing at, is this is a very important piece of not just getting people to volunteer, but also I think loving them well and serving them and getting them knit in. And so why is this important? Why is Brianna's role important? And all the things that she's doing, curious, why is this important?
So we want to love our volunteers well. We're super excited that we've received them and they're such a gift to our team. And for me, I'm such a type A planner that getting to logistically know like this is what our expectations are of what the day is going to look like, just showing that step of let me show you I'm prepared for you shows that we're going to love and receive you really well.
Yeah.
One of the things I love about one of the sort of side effects of the way that Brianna has set it all up is that I think it communicates the culture of our team that we're trying to create really well. And so it sets up for a new volunteer, like we want to create a team where we do really care about one another. Like you're not showing up on your first day, not really sure where to go or not really sure who to talk to and sort of feeling like, do they really want me here? Did anyone really think about the fact that I was going to show up? Which certainly has been the experience at different points in time on our team. And I think on a lot of our teams, like it's, this is a thing that can be hard to build out. But I feel like what Brianna's been able to bring to it is this really like, we've thought about you, and especially for the connection team, like we want to share this or show this same level of care to our first time guests on a Sunday. And so we're sort of by modeling to our volunteers, this is how we want to treat you. It helps them catch that culture and then be able to do the same for our first time guests. And we've really even seen that the amount of ongoing training our team needs has decreased as our onboarding has gotten a lot better.
That's great to hear.
Like the number of times that I feel like I have to get everyone in a room and remind them why we do what we do has decreased as we've started to do this better and better. And even like a bunch of our other volunteers that have been around for a while will be there when Brianna's like, hey, why do we do this? Like, let's tell this new volunteer, let's all jump in and show them how we do this and tell them. So I think it has really helped the culture on our team and helped us remember sort of the why behind what it is that we're doing.
Yeah. Curious, when you speak to or when you engage a new volunteer, everything from first email, are you interested, all the way up to first day walking around with a leader on the team, you or somebody else, what percentage of that communication is the heart behind what you're doing and what percent is just the practical, here's what you have to do?
I feel like it might be almost 50-50.
I would say, yeah, pretty close to 50 or like 45-60. Wait, hold on. I can't math today.
45-55?
Yeah.
Didn't you study engineering?
Yeah.
Okay.
The brain is not turned
on. So which one, in the 45-55 scenario, which way are you leaning?
Sometimes it's a little bit less the heart of why.
just a little bit.
Yeah. I think it depends on how we're first contacted. Like if someone has reached out specifically to someone or to Sarah and said, you know, I'm interested in joining the team, in those conversations, I know that she's already started the about the why. Versus if someone, if I get someone's I'm interested off of a connection card, I really am going to try and make sure that they understand why they're doing, why we're doing what we're doing.
Okay. Interesting. Good. I think that's helpful.
Yeah, I think I've seen for our team in particular how much the why matters, both for new volunteers and for ongoing volunteers, because it's really tempting for anyone on the connection team to turn our job into standing behind the connection area and setting up a sign. And it just, the vision leak that happens really quickly.
Sure.
Because it is so uncomfortable to go out and engage new people, especially if you're not the most extroverted person in the world. And so we have to constantly be reminding ourselves of the why. And I think doing that, especially with new volunteers, so that they know from the beginning, like more than trying to teach you a set of things to set up or a set of words to say or, you know, whatever, we're trying to communicate the heart behind. Mm-hmm. And we even tell like our more introverted team members, of which I include myself, that like a huge part of why we do what we do is that those of us who are more introverted know how terrifying it is to walk into a room full of people we don't know. Yeah. And so we're taking that awkwardness on ourselves. Like it's not necessarily that we relish the idea of going up to someone we don't know and saying hi, but it's a little bit easier to do that when you remember that that other person is probably feeling far more out of place and that like we have the opportunity to remedy that. And I think when we share that vision with people, especially who are new, they catch it and run with it a lot faster than just like your job today is to go talk to as many people as you can.
Yeah.
And I think part of what prompted this whole like niche role for me, part of it was I worked in admissions during undergrad. I was a organization leader president in school. And so I've got the skill set, and Sarah had me take the quiz, and it was like, all right, there's this area that this can go well for you. But for me, I had such a great first Sunday with Sarah, and I had such a great onboarding experience and training that I wanted to be able to pay that forward.
Okay.
And so by getting to show that love to my new volunteers, I'm hoping that they can take that excitement and run with it.
Yeah, that's great. I want to back up to just a slight little bit to the idea of, you know, communicating the vision. I think it's so important because all of us fill in those holes of why we do what we do with our own reasons.
Mm.
And it takes a leader to stand for an organization to be effective, especially a growing one or a growing team or just any growing group of people. It takes somebody to stand up and to declare what the reality is and not allow, on some level, not allow us to fill it with our own desire. And that sounds a little harsh, but what I'm trying to get at is I'll serve and do something as long as it's fun for my own reasons. But when it gets hard, I'll stop if I don't have a greater vision to hold on to it. And so for like longevity, I think it's so healthy to communicate. This is why we do what we do. It also gives people an opportunity to opt out early. But I think it holds it. And we see this in everything. We had the volleys this week.
Woo. Yeah.
I'm really excited about the volleys. Sarah will be singing at the volleys this year.
Always. The only time you will see me singing and dancing in public is at the volleys.
I'm so excited.
So we're going to have the volleys as always. And it's a great time of year. And although we got to get away from Mother's Day. Too many people are traveling to see their moms for the volleys. But the volleys, every year, I get a question, and I haven't had another this year, from a volunteer who is serving. And I've had this question from people that I love and respect in our church. But every year it's like, why do we do this? Why do we, quote, waste all this money on our volunteers? Because it's a pretty expensive event that we have. And what I realize is they don't have the vision behind it. Because the way that usually the people who are wired are men and women of God who would rather say, why don't we go and, you know, reach the, you know, and feed the poor and engage our communities and use the money that we would spend on a meal for somebody and pull that for something else. And I agree that those are all good things. And we actually do a lot of those things. Mm-hmm. But the reason is, one time of year, we want to honor the people who serve our church. And I know they're not asking for it. And most volunteers, you know, would still volunteer even if this didn't happen. But I think it's good and it's healthy for our church to say, you know what? We love you. We actually love you.
Yeah, definitely.
And you are more important than the chair that you set up to us. Mm. And we want to spend some time and encourage you and remind ourselves why we do what we do and celebrate the fact that God is bringing us together. And there's just so few, you just can't do that on a Sunday morning. And so, yeah, we spend a little bit of money once a year on some volunteers, but I'm so excited for moments like that. But what all that to say is, the reason why we do that is we want to communicate vision and encourage and show that we love people. And I think that's what you're doing a lot with your focus on how you bring people in. And then getting your leaders to repeat that, like, why are we here? Mm-hmm. I think you're totally right, Sarah. That helps keep training less. I remember you used to meet a lot. You used to meet a lot when you first took over.
Yeah.
And some of that was remedial, right? We had to get on the same page with some stuff. But your team seems super healthy. And so that's what I'm excited about, some of our leaders listening to this.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, the Volleys that we've been talking about is a once a year giant banquet that we put on for all our volunteers at Aletheia.
Yeah.
We serve them dinner. There's awards on each of our teams. Mm-hmm. And each of our team leaders gets up and brags on the awesome volunteers on their team. Mm-hmm. And then the staff team gets up and sings and dances and makes fools of ourselves.
So it's the one thing that we do as a church where the volunteers don't pull it off. It's
all staff
led. All staff.
Yeah,
it's the one thing as a church that we all dress up for.
Is yeah, right? Exactly. So. Everyone's always amazed when we get there and we're like,
I usually wear a bow tie.
Nice. Yeah, so. It's great. So if you're a volunteer at Aletheia, you need to make sure you get there. The other thing I was going to add, Pastor Donnie, I remember this time last year as the Volleys were coming up, I was reading this book that I have found super helpful. And if anybody is thinking about how do I help volunteers on my team feel loved, this book was incredibly helpful for me. It's called The Power of Moments by Chip and Dan Heath. And it just talks about the different things that will make something really memorable for us just as humans, but particularly the way that something starts, like your first Sunday volunteering, has a huge impact on how you see your whole time volunteering, and also individual events like the Volleys, where like just really special events where there's community is built and you get to take pride in what you've done and you get to do something special together, does have a huge impact on people. So anyway, if anyone's like really curious about some of the sort of psychology behind this and some ways you can think about, they give some really cool practical ways in there to think about creating these special moments for people that you're trying to appreciate. And that book was really helpful.
The Power Moments by, what was the author?
Chip and Dan Heath.
Chip and Dan
They're
Heath.
A brother combo.
Maybe we get Tyler to put that in the show notes as well.
Sure. Yeah. But anyway, Brianna, we wanted to give you, do you have any final thoughts for us about volunteer onboarding or anything else you want people to know?
Oh man, all the things. So I think for me personally, we did a leadership training with Pastor Adam, and that was a really neat opportunity to help have someone point out like this is where your skill set is and this is where your swim lane is, and kind of identifying that for people. It's hard to not take it personally when someone's like, actually, I'm not in love with your team. And so kind of stepping back from that and saying, okay, if we're not the spot for you, how can I help you in your walk with Jesus? What is a better fit for you? How is that going to help with that? Yeah. Because for me, joining and becoming a leader really helped me find my church family here. And so I kind of want that for other people too, even if it's not on our team, which breaks my heart. But kind of getting to work with people through that, and just identifying someone on your team or someone that you look up to that can help you pick, you know, this is really where you'd be a good fit. When Sarah went part-time at Harvard, that was really an opportunity for me to get to fully take over onboarding, and that was a really great growth experience. So that was really cool.
I'm glad it was a great experience for you. Some of us didn't.
I'm sure. I know. Pastor Donnie's making a face at me like that was not a great time.
I came back.
Don't encourage her poor decisions.
And then the other thing I would say,
Sarah did that just so that she would leverage. It's like one of those things where like you'll know.
It was a strategic leadership move.
Yeah, she's like you'll know how much I mean when I'm gone. It's like, she's like went working for Harvard part time for like 6 months. But anyway,
yeah,
and
She's back. It's great. I'm excited. Yep. And then the other thing I would say is, I don't know how often other teams do team meetings. We kind of judge how content versus social family based they should be based on kind of the temperature of how our team is doing. The last one we had a couple weeks ago, when we emailed out the invite to all of our team members, we put it out there. If you know anyone that's interested or that you think should join the team, bring them with. And we actually had a couple girls come to that who had expressed interest and hadn't served yet. And so they came to the team, and at the end of the meeting, they said, yes, when can I get on the schedule? Which was so rewarding. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something we actually didn't talk about much today, but that I'll brag on Brianna for anyway, is that in addition to new volunteer onboarding, she's really been carrying the torch for just organizing fun events for the team.
That's right. You did not just a team, but like all red shirts.
So we've gone apple picking with all the red shirt teams, the connection, the ushers and hospitality last two falls. And we've done ice cream parties and really just every couple of months. I'd say max every 6 months, but probably more like every 3 or 4 months, we've been trying to get the team together for something fun. And so just this heart for like helping our team to feel like a family so that we are able to help our church feel more like a family has been such a blessing to our team. So thank you, Brianna. It's been awesome to hear from you today about all of this.
Awesome. I just want to say, like, you know, all the leaders who are listening, this is important. The reason why this team and some of you on your teams as well think so intentionally about newcomers and to your team is because you want them to realize it's not just about the task they're performing. They matter to God. We need to love them, but also we want to lock arms with them to accomplish something great together. And so I think this is key for us. And so those of you listening, as you continue to lead within our church or whatever way you're leading. It is a mix of those two things, the cultural values of what you're leading, what God's called you to do, but also the execution of those things together. And in volunteer organizations like the church, on one hand, compared to the world, it's more difficult because we're not paying people to show up. But on the other hand, it can be so much more powerful because we're all doing it voluntarily. And so, man, we're so excited to do this. For those of you serving, thank you for serving. For those of you leading in Aletheia, thank you for leading. For those of you who are thinking through this and part of your responsibility within our church is calling others into service and teaching them and training them and preparing them for all the ways that it takes for us to be Aletheia in rented spaces and in a city that's highly transient, all the different things. First of all, thank you so much, but be encouraged that you're doing something. It's greater than simply just setting up chairs or simply than just executing a task on a Sunday or sometime midweek. It's much more than that. And so as you bring people into that calling is bigger than simply just getting them to perform a task. It's engaging them in practical gospel expression through their giftings. So, ladies, thank you both for being here. Sarah, as always, but also Brianna, thank you for hanging out with us, having a conversation.
Yeah, thanks
Brianna. For having me.
Thanks for serving our church. And if you ever want to get back at Sarah, you could take off for 6 months. And,
don't you
and
dare.
She can decide how much she likes you as a result. But leaders, keep leading, and we'll see you soon.